This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back to Wells Tech. First show of 2017, January 3rd, we're recording. Episode 478, joining me as usual, Sally Draper. Happy New Year, Sally.
Well, thank you, sir. I'm happy to be here, happy to be joining you for a new year of podcasting, and I think it maybe marks our 10th year of podcasting, a bit of an anniversary for Wells Tech today.
I lose track. What year, but it was the first Tuesday. Oh, I don't even know if we did it on Tuesdays back then. We probably did somewhere in there, but first Tuesday of that year back in 2008.
Yes, sir. Very good year.
When did you start at the Synod? It was a little bit before me, wasn't it?
It was in January of 2003. And you were in 2003 as well, right?
2004.
Oh, okay.
October, November-ish, I think. Someplace in there.
I think mine was 2004. I'm off. It was January of 2004. Yeah.
We started the same year, and then we decided to do this podcast thing a few years later. Podcasting, as I recall, and this is now ancient history, was just kind of getting started. There were a few podcasts that both you and I listened to we thought were useful. Talked about communication type things and other things. And we kind of looked around and thought that, hey, there's not something that really focuses or zeroes in on technology and ministry. There were a couple, and we modeled after, you know, some that were nibbling around the edges, but we felt that, not that we could do it better, but maybe that we could focus more on tools and things that would be more applicable to our Wells and ELS congregations. And I think we've tried to do that over the years.
Yeah. And over the years, technology has changed around us. I remember when we started, Martin, and suggesting the idea that we number our shows for easier reference and things like that. And we went with three digits. Our first show is 001 because we had the high hopes of perhaps making it to number 100. And here we are at, 478, did you say? And, you know, I would have never guessed it would have lasted this long, but I also would have never envisioned the rapid changes that have happened in technology and their effects on ministry that have happened over the past 9 years.
Right. And there's enough content each and every week, I think, to bring to the show without very few repeats, which kind of attests to the fact that, yeah, technology does move fast. Another reason that we don't have to do a lot of repeats and there's not a lot of challenges in finding new topics is the contributions we get to the show, the issues that are brought up through social networks and through our conversations and through the listserv and those kinds of things. So that part has been a wonderful experience and kind of fanning out across all of technology. And I don't have any doubt that as we move forward, there's going to be no shortage of topics to deal with. And it's kind of fun doing the show. And there aren't many podcasts that do it every single week without fail as well. Now, we haven't been together for every one of those, but there you can probably count on two hands at times where we have not been side by side virtually doing the podcast, which is, you know, by God's grace too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you mentioned a little bit about the community and things like that. I think that's been probably my favorite thing about Wells Tech is getting to know all the great Wells Techers out there, either face-to-face or virtually. We've had some face-to-face opportunities and have always enjoyed those. I'm always running into people that listen to the podcast and I get to put a name with a face, but our virtual community is just amazing and has been a huge blessing. You know, it's not all about what Martin and Sally know, thankfully, and we've tapped into so many people and they've shared their expertise. And, you know, it's applied to others where we would have never imagined, but they've connected with one another through the various WellsTech connections that are out there.
Right. And you and I have had many conversations over the years, each year kind of annually. How do we make the show better? You know, what are our goals? How we look at the year behind us and we look at the year ahead of us and figure out, you know, what could have been done better. And we found a few things, as we always do, that would, I think, make the show a little bit better. One of those things, I think, is a more of a focus on education and more research, you know, that we could do to help our listeners and viewers out. We recognize that, you know, the WellsTech community does not have maybe the time or maybe even the background sometimes to do the things that we can do through research and through asking around and gathering this stuff. And we'd like to be that shortcut for you, where you don't have to kind of plumb the depths of every technology topic and get as smart as you can to make an educated decision about whether you should pursue it or not. We hope that we are a valued resource in that respect, or hope to be.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the best ways that we showcase what WellsTech has to offer and we reference regularly is our show notes site. So for folks that haven't experienced it, maybe you only listen or watch via feed or whatever, we definitely encourage you to visit our website, WellsTech.wells.net, and all 478 shows are available there for you to listen or re-listen to, and the search box is your best friend, so you can find all different kinds of technology using the search that's available there on the website. But I will be the first to say, having curated the site for all these years, that there's lots of ways that we can improve it and reach out and do more with the website. And so we hope to do some of those things as we move into the future.
Okay. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that focus and making the website or the show notes page better in just a minute. There's a couple things in 2017 that we are looking forward to, and maybe even beyond. One of those is, if you do any kind of math, you can figure out that episode 500 will be coming up in 2017. We figure maybe toward the end of May, if all goes well. We're hoping that maybe we can be in the same place at the same time and really have kind of a episode 500 celebration.
Yep. Who knows what that'll look like? We've got a few months to figure that out. But one thing we know is that we want to look back on the past years and see some of those highlights from all the past 9 years and 500 episodes of podcasting. So you can expect over the next several months for us to look back and focus on the different years that we've done this and find some of those highlights to share with you.
Yeah, and that'll be fun, too, especially as we kind of look back at those early years when technology was so much different, and we were probably a lot different at the time as mm-hmm. well. We've grown through the process. So I'm looking forward to those retrospectives as we look back at all those years. So as we go forward here, about this, Sally, we decided that one of the most important aspects of our show is trying to identify tools that can be taken by those people in ministry, whether it's your professional ministry or your personal ministry, and grab a hold of and make use of. And that's kind of our ministry resources section. And we try and pick a ministry resource, and we have a whole ministry resources page, you know, on the show notes, on the show notes site. We felt maybe we could spend a little bit more time there and be a little bit more helpful to everybody by doing a little more research and maybe even spending a little bit more time, each of us, taking one of those ministry resources, either from the past or one that, you know, it comes up, and write a good old-fashioned blog post, maybe do a screencast, just spend a little bit more time elucidating what it is and why it might be useful in any particular ministry context, and maybe identify who the audience would be and how to use it and why this might be a good fit for your use case or whatever it is that you do in ministry. And this is the show we're going to kick that off. So a little bit later, we're going to really focus on a couple of ministry resources and then kind of have a dedicated, newer, dedicated, more organized, more useful ministry resource page where you can go and say, what are those important things that Martin Sally identified, or maybe some of our listeners identified as being something that you can pull off the site or do a little bit more research on yourself for yourself and say, hey, this is useful.
Yep. Ministry resources is something that I've compiled, and it's grown over the entire 9 years. And that page of ministry resources with the millions of links that were on it still exists. You just need to get through it through our resources page now. So if you head over to resources, you'll find a link to the ministry resource archives. But the new ministry resources link that's at the top of the Wells Tech site, that one's the one that's going to have links to all of these blog posts, and not just written posts, but we've upped the ante and said we're going to do some video tutorials or overviews, walkthroughs along with. So you'll have some fresh videos besides our weekly podcast that you can watch. We'll share those on our social media channels as well. And an archive, a fresher archive of ministry resources that are a little bit more in depth, like you said, Martin.
And now we're committed because we said it, and it was recorded. the intent is to try and do this each and every week, at least have one, hopefully two ministry resources, and over the course of the year, to have a nice box full of ministry resources that people can look to and hopefully find something good that they can implement in their ministry.
Looking forward to it.
One other thing that we talked about, and I'm excited about this as well, is to try and even better leverage the talent that exists within not just the Wells Tech family, but across the Synod and across the technology and ministry world, and finding people to talk to. I think we get that consistent feedback that the interviews are great, and we'd like to see more of those. And if you have suggestions for people to interview, or you think that the conversation with you might be helpful, please suggest that. We were able to get together with Mark Meyer. He's the technology director at Emmanuel Church and School in Greenville, Wisconsin, talking about some of the things he's doing, getting coding into the classroom. And he's doing that in a lot of different ways. So he sat down with us last year, and we recorded the interview where he talked about what he's doing, some cool things he's doing with coding and robots, and some things that you might be interested in if that is an obligation you have in your classroom to get more STEM stuff in front of your kid. So let's listen to our interview with Mark Meyer. Very happy to have joining us today Mark Meyer, Technology Director at Emmanuel Lutheran in Greenville, Wisconsin. Thanks for joining us, Mark.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, what your current role is, a little bit about family, hobbies, that kind of stuff. People get to know you a little bit.
Well, I'm the Technology Director here at Emmanuel. I've been here 2 years now. I'm starting my second year. Family of three girls. They all went through MVL, and now they're all in Minnesota somewhere, Mankin,
okay.
So forth. Otherwise, it's just me and my wife here in Greenville.
Okay. What do you do for fun?
Golf.
Golf?
Oh, yeah. Try to get out.
It's cold.
Yes, it's cold. Last day I golfed was November 18th.
Oh, that's pretty good. Right?
I took it as long as I could.
Yeah.
So we have something to always look forward to.
That's right. Spring's almost here,
Yeah. That's one
right.
way to look at it. How long have you been in your current technology director role, the entire time you've been at Greenville?
Yeah, entire time here for 2 years, well, a year and a half now. I was in Mankato, Bethany College at Mankato for the last
years. Do you have any other responsibilities other than just the technology piece?
Not really, because I teach a couple classes, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, which are technology classes, but otherwise I handle all the tech for the school and the church.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any kind of curriculum for that, or how do you set that up?
Well, right now we started last year to try and put a STEM lab in, and so it's a current building project, and we approached the Antioch Foundation, Quick Trip, for a funding. And we got a grant to help put the STEM lab in, and so we're starting it before the building project, so I'm slowly putting pieces of the STEM lab together, and that's where the robots and such come in.
Yeah.
Excellent. So maybe give us a little bit of background of what you do with those sixth through eighth graders, what kind of tools you're using, and you know, what's happening in that new STEM lab that you're putting together.
Okay. Well, we start with some basic coding through code.org. There are a lot of different coding sites, Scratch and Codable and all. I've looked at all of them. Code.org is a free site, which helps, obviously. And it's really nice because it organizes it as courses or classes. So I started with the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. 7th and 8th graders I started in course 2 or 3. 6th graders I started just course 2. And this week, because it's the week of code nationally, I tried a little experiment with the 2nd graders. And this week I have the 2nd graders in the lab, and we're doing the same thing, and they're loving it.
Interesting.
They're really doing well with it too. And so there's a course 1 that fits for that age level also. So you can basically move it up to whatever age you want.
That's awesome. So obviously you have a heart for technology and using it in ministry settings. Why do you think it's important for the kids to be learning to code?
Well, coding isn't just about computer science, although that's the final end to it, but it's about teaching the kids about creativity and problem-solving skills. I always start with, like, the second graders, they start as a team. They have to work together to decide what to do. I have one as the driver, the person with the mouse, and one as the navigator who helps decide what they want to do with the code and where they want to go. And so they have to communicate together. So it helps with communication skills, too. The other issue is that it gets both male and females interested in technology at a low level. So we get more males and females in the science and technologies. And that's really important today.
So is this kind of a baked-in part of the curriculum, or is this kind of something that they choose to be a part of, or does everybody go through it?
Everybody goes through it. From 6th, 7th, and 8th, it's a part of the actual curriculum. Well, the 2nd graders, we wanted to get more classes involved, and so the 2nd grade teacher said, well, can you do something with my kids? And I said, we can try. And I didn't know exactly whether that level was going to be right for them, but it worked perfect. I mean, they're loving it. Today is the last day with them, so they're going to be doing some loops and codes, and they're going to love it.
And is that pretty much a GUI-type interface where they're dragging and dropping pieces?
Yeah.
Or is there actual, they're writing for loops and variables and that kind of stuff?
They start with block coding. So block coding is pretty much what Scratch is all about, and what's really out there in most of the coding sites. And they do the block coding. They go through the course. When they get done, they can work at their own pace. They can do it at home if they want. They know the website, so if they want to. I have a progress bar that shows me where everybody's at, so I can see, you know, what they're struggling with or who's not, you know, getting along or whatever. And so I have in the STEM lab a wall of code. So when they finish, they get a certificate that goes up on the wall. And if they finish, then they get to go on to the robots. So the robots then will be coding with iPads, doing the same block coding, and then controlling these Sphero robots. So it's kind of an incentive.
Yeah, definitely. So tell us a little bit about Sphero. I've heard about it, but I haven't really seen it.
Looks like this.
Oh, cool.
So it's not these angry-looking robots that attack each other. It's just a ball. And so it's a ball that they program to do different things on the ground. And so I will give them, I'll have paths that they have to follow, and they have to figure out, okay, if I want to get 20 centimeters at this speed, you know, how much time do I have to put on it to get to that speed? And they use a little circle device here that tells them what angle to then turn it at to get to the next pace on the path.
Sweet, bringing in some math skills.
Go ahead. Yeah, that seems like cross-curricular. Are there curriculum? Are there lesson plans for this kind of stuff, or you make that up as you go?
I make it up as I go. There are lesson plans both on the code.org site. There are lesson plans. I basically take them through it and then let them go at their own pace. And when they get stuck, then I kind of bring them all together and say, okay, here's what we have to deal with or whatever. Usually all of them get stuck at the same point.
Right.
So give us an idea of pricing, iPads, Spheros, things like that. How many did you buy?
Because I started with buying 2 Spheros. They were about $70 a piece. So I thought pretty much what we could afford, and bought 2 iPads. And then as we started seeing the kids really get into the coding and figured that coding wall is going to be filled pretty fast, we needed to get more. And so Sphero had an education price to buy a box of 12 of them for, I think it was $1,200, plus you get another box of ramps and bridges and things that they can make
go
over. We just started using them this week, and they were really, I put a different bridges and whatever in the middle of the gym floor, and then I set all the students at different places on the gym floor, and they can't move. They have to get their robot over those bridges and over the ramps, and it's just wonderful to watch them. I mean, they're just all over the place. The robots sometimes are banging into each other, but that's and then they bring them back, and they have to redo the code and make it work a little better, but they always figure it out. That's the best part.
Does that work over Bluetooth or Wi-Fi?
Wi-Fi.
Okay. So you need a connection there, and that the Sphero gets on the network as well as whatever controller that you built.
Right. And all you have to do is tap the Sphero with your iPad, and then it says you want to connect, yes, and then you're connected so that they don't connect to each other's.
Ah.
You can use a phone, too, if you want, but I didn't want to go with buying a bunch of phones because, you know, I could have got some cheaper because you can do, you know, cheaper level iPhone 4s if you wanted to. But the iPads just seem to be the way to go because we can use them for other things then, too.
You don't have to use an iPad, per se. You could use another tablet or a computer, Chromebook.
Android, tablet, Chromebook, yep. Any of those could work. Chromebook would probably be a little clunky because you want to have it. I guess if you have the flip type, you could.
Uh-huh, the touch screen.
Tablets, yeah, as long as it's a tablet type would work the best.
Mm-hmm.
But the durability so far that you found, are they standing up to what the kids can put them through?
Oh, yeah. They can drop from about a 5 foot.
Oh, really? Wow.
Angle it. Over the jumps, their goal right now is to try to make the thing fly over 2 jumps in a row, and none of them have been able to do that yet, but they're all trying.
So they get moving pretty fast then, huh?
Yeah, not too bad, but there's a way I can get them to a certain speed that they can't go over, and I'm at that speed right now. I'm not letting them go too fast. They think they're pretty fast, but they could actually go twice as fast as they're going.
Wow.
That, though. I don't want any holes in the wall.
Very interesting. So what do you have in store? What's coming up next? What are you thinking about doing in this particular area?
Well, we're planning on getting it into all the classes now. We just had a faculty meeting this last Monday, and all the classes are getting interested in it, so I'm probably going to be bringing it into all the way from second on up. Since second grade can handle it, that means the rest of them can. And then do different things with the robots, and we can take them outside. We can eventually put them, they can actually go in water. So there's a little add to it where you can make it like a boat going across the water, too. So
fun stuff.
When it's not frozen outside. Yeah
exactly. And then as far as the STEM lab goes, the next piece, like for the 7th and 8th graders after Christmas, is we're going to be doing video. So we're going to be working with video editing and producing videos and bringing the robots in as much as we can. But they're going to start doing some of that. And the iPads will help with that because that's our camera.
Okay. Do you have a one-to-one program there, or are you just shuffling these devices around?
We're just shuffling around right now. We're thinking about going one-to-one, but right now we just, because of the STEM lab building it in, we're not sure what we want to do yet with the one-to-one.
Very good.
Sounds like a lot of fun. I wish I could be in your class. I think I'd enjoy it. So blessings on that. We'd love to hear an update at some point and some of your success stories, if they get them flying over 2 jumps and things like that.
Well, video. Once we have video,
There you go.
Take some video. Take some video of that. We'd love to share that, too. That sounds exciting.
Sure. Okay.
And, wonderful thing you're doing there. Thank you, Mark, so much for taking the time to share that with us, and blessings on your work there.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks again to Mark for spending some time with us. Cool stuff, Sally. We've talked a lot about trying to get more STEM stuff into classrooms, and he kind of walks us through how easy that is. A lot of it's been done for you, and how fun it can be.
Yeah, I love Mark's enthusiasm for it. I think anybody that would have his job would be that enthused, or at least any of us techie types would be that excited.
Easy to geek out, yep.
Yep. The Sphero looks like a lot of fun. And, you know, Martin, you mentioned maybe it's your responsibility in your school. It's quite possible that congregations will look at doing summer programs around STEM activities as well.
Right.
You know, summer soccer camps have really been a hit in many congregations. Summer STEM-based camps can be as well. So a little investment and some willing volunteers, and you might be able to structure summer programs around this too. And now's a great time to begin thinking about that. So just lots of ways you can incorporate it.
Yep. You or Kevin have any experience with Spheros?
No, I actually bought Kevin a Makey Makey for Christmas. It's a one that you connect to things and they become a touchpad. And so they show the example of it being connected to bananas and you're playing pianos by touching the bananas and stuff. So we'll see what kind of experiments come out of that. But Spiro might be next on the list.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, let's move on. We've got some of our regular segments that will continue into 2017. One of those is our News in Tech segment. Not a lot happening over the new year. One thing that is coming up, however, and we'll report on it more as news comes out of it, is CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, which happens in Las Vegas every winter. And so watch for more information as that transpires, because our Twitter feeds and all the other stuff is filled with all the cool stuff that's coming out of that show. That I bet there'll be a lot of home automation stuff, maybe some more robot stuff. There's all kinds of stuff out of there. The Internet of Things is big right now, and that'll predominate the show, I'm sure.
Looking forward to seeing what the future holds.
One of the other segments that is hopefully useful to our listeners is the Wells Now segment. And I want to remind everybody about a new interactive faith series coming up. Sally, is it listed there what they're doing this year?
It is.
This winter?
Starting on February 1st through February 22nd, 6 and 8 p.m. Central Time, Reverend Randy Hunter is going to be leading folks in a Bible study on enriching marriage. And Pastor Hunter is a pastor in Wisconsin who does marriage retreats all over the country. And so he'll be a great person to lead the Bible study. It says it's enriching marriages twice each Wednesday. Couples will have the opportunity to build their marriage on the gospel of Jesus through the study entitled Mysterious Marriage. The study will examine how the gospel gives you power to be married and how marriage gives you a way to show the gospel. Sounds very interesting. I would think appropriate for all the married folks listening or those contemplating marriage. It's one of those that you can view online. So let's see if I can remember how to stop screencasting with this button down here. What you can do is gather together a group of people, and there'll be Bible study resources available to download and time during the session, during the webcast, where you can stop and have group discussion and things like that. So been a popular format. I think you'll enjoy it if you're able to tune in.
And cost is zero. You just have to dedicate some time, and everything is recorded as well. So if you miss a week, for instance, you can go back and watch the series. They're all 60 minutes. So you're really just kind of signing up for a 60-minute segment, and you don't even have to sign up, actually. Mm-hmm. And they do it to accommodate two different time zones. So it's for Central, it's 6 o'clock, and Central time, it's 6 Central or 8 Central. So you can kind of do the math, whatever your time zone is. So they've tried to remove as many barriers as possible so that you can take advantage of this interactive faith series.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, Sally, we should probably continue on with our picks of the week. This is a little segment where Sally and I both pick something that has caught our interest, something that maybe we use or are beginning to use. Could be a website, piece of hardware, piece of software, an app, something that we found use in our professional or personal ministries. Sally, what did you find this week?
Well, being the new year, Martin, and actually having a little bit of a holiday break, always kind of turns my thoughts to New Year's resolutions. Do you make resolutions for the new year, Martin?
Not really. I have good thoughts, but I don't actually make a commitment, and I start off strong like any other, but depends on how committed I am, of course. But how about you?
Well, one of my goals or thoughts each new year is that I need to read more. I always enjoy reading, mm-hmm. and it's one of those things that gets kind of pushed to the side with the busyness of life. And I make it to the end of the year, and I have a nice break, and I figure I got to catch up on all my reading while I'm on break. And right. so that kind of led me to my pick of the week this week, and it is actually a service from Amazon. Let me see if I can share my screen. My pick of the week is Kindle Unlimited. So Amazon has the source for tons and tons of great books, all different kinds. And if you want to read them on your electronic device, you can actually use Kindle. And you don't have to own a Kindle device. You can read it on your smartphone or tablet, whatever the brand. Or you can actually read it on any web page. Any web browser. So right there on your desktop or laptop computer, you can read your Kindle. Well, for just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe to Kindle Unlimited. And actually, they'll give you a 30-day free trial, so you don't have to pay anything to get started. So if you have a book you want to read in a crunch, you can do that and cancel your membership and never pay a dime. But I think I'm going to stick with it for a while and see if this is my ticket to getting some of those books read. So later on, you'll hear about a book I recently read that was a bit of my motivation because I was really interested in getting my hands on this book. And I will tell you a little bit of a story. As I looked at subscribing to Kindle Unlimited, I also looked at subscribing to Prime because, you know, Amazon has a feature where you can get free shipping. And as I read about Prime, it comes with Kindle books. So you can get access to books for free. And I thought, well, if I'm going to subscribe, I may as well do Prime and get the books and yada, yada. Well, it turns out the books available with Prime is a very scaled back list of books. It's not nearly the vast library that you get access to with Kindle Unlimited. So you kind of have to weigh it out. Maybe you want both of the services. But I opted to go with the Kindle Unlimited option. I did that after I had paid my $99 for Prime and realized I wasn't able to get the books that I wanted. And I will just say that I dealt with Amazon customer service and they were awesome. They refunded my money within 2 hours of me making the purchase. It was back in my account and everything was cleaned up and I had what I wanted instead of what I'd originally subscribed to. So that's my New Year's story, and maybe we can check in a month or two and see if I'm still reading from Kindle Unlimited. But I think it's a great deal, so I'm excited to give it a try.
You realize that Kindle Unlimited means these are digital books, not paper books, right?
Well, one of my other New Year's resolutions was to repurpose my iPad. So I'm not reading it on a tiny phone. I at least have a decent size screen to read it on. I've had an iPad kind of sitting in the wings for a couple of years now. And so I'm giving the old electronic books a try.
All right.
But I have a lot of paper in my life.
It's the modern day library. And, for $10 a month, that's not bad, especially if you are, a pretty consistent reader. I mean, if you go a month without reading a book, then, I mean, you're throwing some money away. But there probably are very few titles that somebody would be interested in that you can't find that is available out there.
And they even have current magazines, Martin. I was surprised by that. You can read People magazine through Kindle Unlimited. Lots of really good magazines out there.
That could represent a savings for some people who do the subscription to magazines as well.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yep. Yeah, and you do get Audible, or at least some audio options. I don't think it's the same thing as Audible.
Right.
But you do have some of the same narrators for some of the books, I know.
It does say listen to thousands of books with Audible narration. So you do get options for Audible books, but it's not all the books. So millions of titles in the unlimited reading, thousands of Audible books. Right. As it turns out, the book I wanted specifically to start with has an Audible version, but I'd have to pay $2 more to get it with my Kindle version. Exactly. Audible's normally,
I think it's
lots more.
14 or 18 or 19 bucks a month. It's probably not worth it if you're just looking for a few books that you want in Audible format. So, and just paying the $2 extra, may be the better way to go. So
exactly. One little caveat, you can only get 10 books at a time. So they're digital books. You check out, check in. It's like the library. You don't own these books.
Right.
They aren't in your library forever. You can have a max of 10 at a time.
And What are you going to do with 10 books out of them?
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to hit that limit. So that's good for me.
There are lending options as well, right? Did you look
into
that? I'm
not sure with Kindle Unlimited, since it's, you know, the library kind of system. If you buy books.
Maybe that's with the Amazon Prime.
There's limiting lending, okay. But I don't know. I'll have to look.
We have Amazon Prime, and we've had it for many years, and it really comes in handy for times like Christmas where you're doing a lot of ordering.
A lot of shopping.
Free shipping, and it makes up for itself. And we watch a couple of series that are available on Amazon Video, for instance.
Sure.
That comes with Amazon Prime. So we find that that's a pretty good deal.
Lots of options there.
All right. My pick of the week, my first pick of 2017 is a little website that I just stumbled across the other day called Placehold It. Placehold It, it's placeholdit, and it fits nicely into our conversation with Mark Meyer about coding. So if you are a webmaster and you're responsible for creating web pages, this is a really handy tool. What it is it allows you to create quick and simple image placeholders. So if you don't have an image for a particular spot on your page, but you know you're going to want one there and it's going to be roughly this dimension by that dimension, all you have to do is remember or go to the site and they'll remind you of all the dimensions and different customizations that are available for little gray placeholder boxes. And, you know, this is really cool. So for instance, if you know you wanted a header, you know, a lot of people, you know, use Final Web and there's image placeholders and those kinds of things. And you know what dimensions you'd want it to be and maybe where it should live on the page. You would just create a URL, for instance, if you wanted something that was 350 pixels by 150 pixels, you'd simply enter in a source tag or a source element in your HTML. placehold.it/350x150. And when it displays, it's just a little gray box, and in the box it has the dimensions that you're looking for. You can do a lot of different kind of tweaks with this. You can have different text that you want in there. So if you say, the site is a little slow in loading today, so if those of you that are watching the screencast can, you're going to have to hang on just a minute as the page reloads. But you can see all the different things it can do. It has different image formats, GIF, JPEG, PNG files. You can add custom text. So if you wanted to add your own text, it would just be placehold.it/ and then the dimension, or at least one of the dimensions, let's say 300, a question mark, and then the text that you want to put in there. So let's say you put headshot of pastor, you could put in there. So your box, in fact, why don't we just try that? If I could do a little online demo here. Copy link. Let's paste this in. So I'm going to, instead of their placeholder text, I'm just going to say pastor headshot here, and let's see what happens. And then as it requests the image from the website, it's going to load up the image and put your text right in the middle of that gray box. If the site would work. Oh, error 522. I don't even know what error 522 is.
Is it timed out?
Connection timed out. It was not liking the request I made. There are other options. You can do different background colors. You can do different text colors. You can obviously do many different sizes. So this is just a quick and dirty way if you're building a web page and you don't want to find dummy images, for you just to put placeholder text in here and kind of give yourself helper text to remind you what, you know, what size image would go in there or what kind of content should go in there. I didn't know this existed, but it's super quick and easy when it's working, and it had worked beautifully for me before, and I've used it a couple times since I found it. But just super easy to remember how to use just by putting the dimensions in there, and it just magically appears on the page. So something must be going on with their site, but placehold.it, because it was beautifully formatted, so I think there's some issues with their CSS probably, and they're serving up some, they're having some server problems, but really useful if you're just kind of mocking up a site and want to put some dummy placeholders in there. Have you been familiar with this, Sal? You ever seen this?
I have not seen it, but I like it a lot, and I could imagine not necessarily, I mean, you could do it a lot of different ways, but you could embed it right there in the code of the page, the HTML, an image source call to that URL, or you could just right-click and download the image and use it wherever you want on the page. You know, like if you're used to working with a content management system and a WYSIWYG type URL where you'd upload images and they'd display for you, you definitely could do it that way as well.
It's a real simple concept that does one thing and does it pretty well. So
yeah.
That's placehold.it. So take a look at it if you do any kind of page layout. I think this would be one of your best friends and something that you want in your toolbox. All right, let's move on to our ministry resources. And again, just a reminder, we've decided that we're going to put a little bit more emphasis on this, and both Sally and I had time this week to come up with a little blog post, and those blog entries will be right on our show notes page, so you don't have to go any place special. They'll be right in the feed. If you go there, you can see them lined up just along with our shows as well. So, Sally, you want to kick us off?
Absolutely. Let me just try sharing my screen, and you can see my ministry resource for this week right at the top of the Wells Tech blog right now. It's The Miracle Morning, which is a book that I read over the break using my Kindle Unlimited. As a matter of fact, here it is on Amazon, and you can see there that the price is zero if you have Kindle Unlimited. So their marketing techniques worked on me, and I signed right up. So anyway, The Miracle Morning is a book by Hal Elrod, E-L-R-O-D, and it's, in a nutshell, a system or a discipline that you adopt to wake up 1 hour earlier to do some planning, perhaps Bible study, prayers, journaling, exercise, some very intentional time in several different areas of your life. And what you're going to see in our blog post is a bit of a description, who the audience is in this case. I'd say it's for everyone, you know, and certainly as Christians, we want to use our time very effectively and carry out the work that God has given us to the best of our abilities. And so certainly applies to those of us in the public ministry or performing different personal ministry to do this kind of a morning routine. I've listed some related resources to The Miracle Morning, as well as some other personal productivity / self-help type books that you could look into. And then there's a video there that you can watch as I walk through the different disciplines that are recommended. Now, I should definitely do some disclaimer. Mr. Elrod writes this from the perspective that you want to be your best person, you want to affirm your vision and goals and ideals and things like that. It's a pretty me-centric book, and he wants you to grab hold and live what he calls a level 10 life, you know, and excel in every area, not just be mediocre. And I think, you know, we can all use some of that kind of motivation, but obviously, Martin, as Christians, we live under a different umbrella. We live under the gospel motivation and the fact that we're in awe and appreciative and want to live for Jesus, for the things that he's done for us and our salvation. So gives us a different spin. I was thankful because as I was reading it, it was reminding me, and I ended up doing some searching through old email, went way back to early 2015 and found where Pastor Rob Gunther, one of our Wells Tech Hall of Famers, had read the book and shared it with you and I, Martin, in email. And he gave some different thoughts and different segments to the routine, and I incorporated that as I explained it in my video. So you'll definitely want to give the video a watch and maybe get some additional ideas or a little bit more of a Christian perspective on how you might use this miracle morning hour that you come up with for your life. But definitely I think worth the investment. I'm all in for 30 days of waking up at 5 a.m. normally not me, and spending 10 minutes at least on different segments. And you'll hear more of that in the video if you watch that.
Yeah, I did that. I mean, I haven't read the book, but I've talked about that, and we talked about that in some of our productivity stuff.
Yeah,
that is definitely an available option and appealing one for many people, because not only is it something that you can do, you know, and schedule, you know, you set the alarm earlier and you have that option each and every morning, but sometimes it's the best time to kind of be by yourself in uninterrupted time. Mm-hmm. Maybe the only way to have that uninterrupted time, if you're a busy mom or whatever, that's that time that you and your Savior can spend together, or you and, you know, whatever tools you want to put together for that miracle morning. So cool. I will be interested to see how the 30 days goes. You don't look any worse for the wear, Sally. So your hour looks good on you.
Yeah, next week you'll notice bags, and we'll see how good a makeup job I'll do.
All right. My ministry resource is a resource that we have mentioned in the past, but with a little bit different flavor this time. It is the reading plans that are available on YouVersion. YouVersion, or you can get to at YouVersion.com or Bible.com, but they have, it's the Bible Online. It's by lifechurch.tv, and we've talked about them many times in the past. They've got apps, they've got a website, whatever. But what they do have, at least as far as this ministry resource is concerned, that is what I want to point out, was the fact that they have these reading plans. And not only do they just have reading plans where you can kind of get through the whole Bible in a year, or go through the New Testament, or, you know, lots of different options, but I ran across a reading plan called the Reformation Reading Plan. And this is the year of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. So what better year to kind of do a Reformation reading plan? This one happens to have been put together by the Michigan District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So they published this. They have a number of reading plans out there. We've talked about reading plans that
Time of Grace has some.
Time of Grace has put some reading plans out there, and others. This is just another one. And reading plans can kind of take different shapes and sizes. Sometimes they're devotional, where there's a devotional paragraph or two, and then Bible readings. This one is just kind of raw scripture, where they put together things that are focused on things that maybe God used to kind of highlight the gospel or the word for these reformers. So it's very justification-centric, law and gospel, just kind of a good tutorial, and it walks you through some of the readings that might have been very influential for those Lutheran reformers 500 years ago, focusing on the word alone, the gospel, grace, etc. So it's very easy to use these plans. You do need an account, of course, with YouVersion or with Bible.com. And then at the top, you'll get a number of options, one of which is plans. And so I've started this reading plan. I've done the first two readings for January 1st and 2nd. I haven't done today's reading yet, but they all kind of work the same way. Once you click into the plan and you subscribe to it, you can get notifications and reminders in the app that say, hey, you haven't done your reading today, so that's kind of nice. You can share your progress. You can challenge each other. But once you're ready to sit down and read, you simply click on usually they're chapters. You click on the chapter, it jumps you into the lesson or the scripture section itself. One of the things that I really like that YouVersion does is they provide an audio version, and this has been a pick of mine in the past. So there's a little listen icon in the upper right, and Max McLean has narrated the entire NIV, which is my preferred translation. So you could just click the play button and have him read it for you. Sometimes Debbie and I will sit down at the dinner table and do that, you know, with our iPad or whatever, and we'll just read through this together. Very helpful if there's some challenging names, locations, those kinds of things. Just let Max read it for you. He's got that nice British accent, so it somehow sounds a little bit more regal and royal sometimes when he reads it versus me struggling through it, etc. So these reading plans are available in whatever device you want to use, whether it's an iPad or an Android tablet or an Amazon tablet or your computer. So you can read it wherever you want. It keeps track of it. You can go back and catch up. You can skip if you want. However you want to do it, those options are all available to you. But this one was kind of nice because it did, again, focus on readings that might have been kind of focused on Reformation type themes. And so that's kind of what I was after. And I'm going to try and get through this this year as a challenge. I don't think you go through the entire Bible this way, but because I did one of those reading plans a few years back, this one again just focuses on the Reformation. So if you're into plans and you want maybe a New Year's resolution, you could do a lot worse than a Bible reading plan called the Reformation reading plan on YouVersion. If that's not for you, or if maybe you're interested in maybe getting through the entire Bible, there are all kinds of plans out there that are available that you could pick and use. One thing that Sally didn't mention, or maybe you did and I just wasn't paying attention, but one of the things that we're going to try and do with these ministry resources is also identify related resources. And I have a couple listed in the blog post here that we've talked about in the past or we discovered in our research for this particular ministry resource. There's a one-year Bible online site that we've talked about in the past. Read the entire New Testament five times a year is another reading plan that's available, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe if this one isn't exactly for you, take a look at those additional resources as well.
All right, so now we can tell the truth about the matter. I thought of that exact same ministry resource, and then someone took it. So this year is going to be great for our listeners. They're going to get all kinds of great informational ministry resources. I think it's going to be a little competitive for me and Martin, so we'll see how that develops.
After that, we're done recording here, that's going to be my time to pick next week. So I'll get the one I want.
I'm going to pick it the morning of our recording. So. Okay.
All right, no, we need to set some rules, fun. I think, but all in good fun. So there's your ministry resources segment. Hopefully that was useful to you. If you've got suggestions, too, for ministry resources, if you, as our listeners, have stuff that you'd like us to review or you'd like to review, we'd love to include that in our ministry resources section. So don't be shy.
Excellent.
Sally, we're going to do featured videos yet this year, aren't we?
We sure are, and we have a great one to start off the year. It's from our friend Mark Meyer. We heard from Mark earlier in the show when he told us about technology in the classroom there at Emmanuel in Greenville, Wisconsin. He shared with us a video that their entire congregation participated in making, and it's titled Emmanuel is a Thankful Church. So maybe it'll give you guys who are listening and watching an idea about video projects for your congregation or school. So check it out. It's very well done.
Very good. Well, that's show 478 for our first show of 2017. We're going to come back next week and do 479. And we have a series that we started beginning with the school year here back in September, called Social Media for Ministry, where we focus on one social media component, tool, offering, site, whatever, and try and figure out its appropriateness or its usefulness in ministry. So we, as I recall, we've done Pinterest, we've done Instagram, we've done Twitter.
I think that's it.
Next week is YouTube. A lot of people don't think of YouTube as a social media site, but boy, it is. There's a lot of conversations around YouTube videos. So Sally and I can do a little bit of research and come back with a conversation around why YouTube might be something that your congregation or school or ministry might want to consider in its social media strategy. That's it for the show this week. Go to the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, to see all the show notes and also different ways to contribute to the show. That's right across the top in the upper right here. So please join the conversation. Thank you for joining us in 2017. We look forward to spending the year with you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.